We've been spending time in the book of Proverbs, and it's been a book that's helped share with us topics of heavenly wisdom that can be applied here on earth. And so we've looked at a whole range of topics about God's wisdom, and we'll be wrapping that up this morning as we conclude the series. We said at the very beginning that wisdom is not just a matter of collecting information. It's not just getting more data. It's not even gathering more knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that information, how to take it and how to apply it to everyday life. We know that there can be occasions where someone may have a whole lot of information and still make a rather foolish decision with that information. So God's wisdom is what helps us put that knowledge, that information, into practice, to apply it in such a way that would not only give Him honor, but it would also be the wise course for us that would bring us blessing and provision. We said at the beginning of our time that wisdom can be defined as the art of skillful living. And when Solomon was first given and entrusted the nation of Israel and was told by the Lord that he could ask for anything, you recall what the one thing was that he asked from the Lord. He asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom to govern, to lead, to guide, and knowing that God was the source of all wisdom. That is where who he prayed to. We looked at Proverbs 9:10 in our first week. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And so that's where we started for really the first two Sundays, thinking about the position that we have before the Lord, whether or not we have the reverence in our hearts towards Him. This idea of the fear of the Lord can be taken a lot of ways, right? We can think of the word fear, and it's all-encompassing. It means a lot of different things, from awe and reverence all the way to the spectrum of judgment. And when we think about the Lord, we should have these thoughts about Him, that we understand that He is above us, that we, in so many ways, are not like Him. And yet, He has disclosed Himself to us. He has created us in His image. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And so as we think about the fear of the Lord, it really helps us understand our position before Him. And that is a position of dependency, a position of humility, to place ourselves in a position before Him to say, "Lord, we know that we need You. We know that we need Your guidance. We know that we need Your truth, and that it's through that we gain Your wisdom." And so we began thinking about our hearts and thinking about the humility that we need to have that posture within our hearts to receive. And so we've looked from that point on at many different topics, from decision-making to finances to things such as anger and pride, self-control. We looked at sexual purity, so many verses that relate to that in the book of Proverbs. Also, friendship, fellowship with others. And last week we began looking at the topic of the application of wisdom to our speech, the words we use every day. And I shared with you last week, and I still believe that this is probably one of the most important topics that we could be considering together. So we took 2 weeks for this one. And as you recall, we looked at Proverbs 12:18 that speaks of words being those that can do harm, that can do damage, that can be like sword thrusts. But they can also be words that bring healing and blessing. And so we're looking at both sides of that description. We saw last week that God is disclosed through words. We looked at the fact and we're reminded that when God created, He created by speaking. He spoke the world into existence. And he spoke, and He would continue to speak, and His words would be recorded. His law, his intent for us would all be recorded through language. And so there is a very close connection between the language and the identity of God Himself. It's part of His nature. And in fact, it's so close that when Jesus was described in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And you continue reading, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. One of His titles, one part of the identity of our Savior is the Word. And so that's how important language and speech is it's connected in to the identity of God. And since we were created in His image, part of our design includes language and speech, the words that we use every day. And so we see, not only is God disclosed through His words, but we are as well. Our hearts are revealed through our words. If we want to know much about ourselves, if we want to know about our heart, about our values, about what's important to us, we can look no further than the words that come out of our mouths, because they do reveal what is inside. Proverbs 15, 7 is an example of one of the verses we looked at last week that makes the connection from the heart to the mouth. And we looked at several examples, and so we won't go through all of those again, but we noted that throughout Proverbs, Solomon would speak about wisdom and foolishness, but he would also speak about the heart and the mouth. And there was such a connection there. It's as if they almost use synonymously, because the heart is what produces the words that come from the mouth. You know, these are metaphors, but that's the inner being of the person that impacts the words that come out. Verse 7 of Proverbs 15 says, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge. Not so the hearts of fools." Now, you think about these words and you think, the hearts of fools, what do they dispense? And you see the connection between the lips of the wise, and we see that one is knowledge and one is foolish. But the interchangeable words there are trying to make a point. And it's the same point that Jesus picked up in Luke chapter 6 when he said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And so as we pause for just a moment and we think about the gravity of the subject before us, it's not just enough for us to walk out of here and say, "Okay, no more words that hurt, only words that heal. I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to dig deeper." It's a matter of beginning with the heart, saying, "Lord, change my heart. Lord, rescue me from this heart," which the book of Jeremiah tells us is so quick to deceive. It's something that is by nature corrupted. And so we need the new nature in Christ. We need redemption to happen, restoration of our inner being. And out of that, we then see Christ at work. And we see words that will heal and build up and encourage. So we see this connection between the mouth and the heart. Or if you want to put it this way, our words are the ultimate reflection of our true identity. Our identity comes, it's disclosed through our words. Our third point, which is where we pick up this week, is the power that's displayed in words. And last week we focused our time on words that hurt, right? And I'm glad you came back to hear about the words that heal, because the words that hurt, that's a tough subject. That's one that causes a lot of introspection and just considering not only the words that we have said to others, but also the words that have been said to us. I mean, sometimes there can be a lifetime of recovery, of thinking through the words that people have given to us that have hurt. And through God's grace and through His healing, we can look for healing in those areas. But it's very important. And we looked at Proverbs 12:18. We'll put that back on the screen for you. It says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts." One of the versions says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So you can look at that verse and you can see the contrast that is there. And of course, there is a calling for us in wisdom, the wisdom that God gives, to be people who use words to heal, to build up, and to not tear down. We said last week that there are many examples of words that hurt. And we looked at a list of them, words that can be categorized as gossip, saying things about other people when they're not present. We looked at it's slander, saying things to put someone in a bad light, whether it's true or not, that you're trying to speak in ways against them. Obviously, lying would be words that hurt. Critical speech, grumbling. And you could add to that list, I'm sure, as you think about words that hurt. But there's so many pitfalls there that we have to be aware of. And we know that words make an impact. Words can tear down. they can hurt others, or as this verse says, they can pierce like a sword. Maybe you heard of an account that happened a few years ago out of Lakeland, Florida, and it's come around a time or two just on the national landscape. It was about a girl, 12 years old at the time, Rebecca Ann Sedgwick, and living in Lakeland, Florida, she was experiencing from a group of other girls a lot of harassment, verbal harassment, and it was a constant flow. And it wasn't just when they were at school or when they saw each other out in town. It was something that took on a whole new dimension in the world of the social media. And you know that is obviously something that has grown and developed and, you know, just mammoth proportions over the last number of years. Well, she was a victim of cyberbullying and harassment that was just so constant. It, over and over and over again, had these other girls just tearing her down, discouraging her, and she got to a place where she was so hurt and so wounded by the continual flow that she took her life. She committed suicide at 12 years old, and it was attributed to all that had been coming against her. In fact, two of those girls, ages 12 and 14, were charged with felonies, charged with crimes against her. As evidence, you could see the social media that was against her. And I went back and I looked for the story this week, and I read more about it, and I saw the little girl's picture, and I just thought, what a tragedy that could have been avoided, that could have been prevented, if it weren't for the fact that these words that were hurting and coming against her would be done in such a way to ultimately take her life. Words can indeed pierce like a sword. I don't know who it was that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who that was, but I will tell you this. I don't think they were right about that. I don't think they were right. They do hurt. They do have a lasting impact. But words also have another power. They have a power to heal, a power to build up, a power to bless, a power to encourage. And so let me give you a more encouraging story this morning that I came across. It was about a high school in Spokane, Washington, and there was a group of students that kept being referenced on the social media platform of Instagram, and so they would look and they'd see that something popped up on their Instagram account, and they were mentioned by this person who they didn't know. He was only, or she was, going by the name of the Benevolent One. The Benevolent 1-3 kept making all of these posts throughout an entire school year. Over 700 posts, and hundreds of students in this high school kept getting referenced. And every time it was something positive. And whoever was behind this anonymous account would go to their social media and take a picture of them off of their site or off of their account, post it on this Instagram account, and then just write some of the most beautiful words of encouragement about this person. Boys, girls, people throughout the class, and it would be their turn, and they'd look up, and they'd go, wow, this is what the account is saying about me, and they'd reply back, not knowing who it was, but reply back how much it meant to them and how grateful they were. They didn't know who it was. And then upon their graduation, there was the co-valedictorian who was asked to speak, named Connor Save. In fact, I've got a picture of Connor here that I found. And he disclosed that he was indeed the Benevolent 1-3. And for the entire school year, he was the one writing those posts. And he said, here's why I did it. He said, everyone makes mistakes, but I wanted instead to focus on the better aspects of people, to shed a positive light on each individual, make them feel appreciated, and know that someone cares. That was his reasoning. And as the valedictorian, he finished speaking, and guess what happened? Standing ovation. Standing ovation. Words, yes, they do have a power to hurt, but as Connor understands, they also have a power to heal. Let me share an extended quote with you from John Bloom, who helps make this distinction a little more clear. He writes for Desiring God Ministry when he says this: People die. People die because of something said. Tongues can be weapons of mass destruction, launching holocausts and wars. Tongues can also be the death of marriages, families, friendships, churches, careers, hopes, understanding, reputations, missionary efforts, and governments. So he's giving a big, wide perspective here. But then he turns the corner and says, but people also live because of something said. The tongue can be a tree of life. Tongues reconcile people and make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. He quotes Christ here, Matthew 5. Tongues can make, listen to what he says, marriages sweet, families strong, and churches healthy. Tongues can give hope to the despairing, advance understanding, and spread the gospel. So if it's okay with you, let's take some time this morning and think about the positive side. Let's think about how we, as people created in God's image, designed by Him, can use words and language in such a way as to be a blessing to those around us. And I want to tell you, if we do this, and I'm not saying that we don't, but I'm saying that if this is a priority and something that in a very authentic way is happening in our homes, happening in our small groups, in our classes, in our ministries, in our church, I promise you, God will honor that. He will bless that. And I have a feeling that He will even bring people in from our community that need a community of faith, a people of faith who will build them up and bless them with words of support and hope and courage. So let's see what God might do if we, as a congregation, would get very serious about using words that heal. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Very similar to what we read a minute ago. Death and life in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Just think of the blessings, the innumerable blessings that come when someone used by the Lord gives words of hope, words of healing. He would also describe it in Proverbs 15 like this: the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. We've seen throughout the antithesis of the parallelism that's used in Proverbs. But if you look at that first part, this idea of a soothing tongue being a tree of life, being life-giving. Words are powerful. Words are very powerful. Let's think of some examples of words that bring healing. I've got a list here that's not meant to be exhaustive. It's some that we looked at when we were studying this topic in the prayer meeting. I mentioned that to you last week. A few others that I've added to it. But as you sit there and look at it, there's probably more expressions of words of healing that come to your mind as well. And I'll add one more in just a minute. But think about in those times when someone needs comfort, someone's gone through a loss of some kind, and to have someone come alongside and offer words of comfort and support, how meaningful that is, how touching it is. Maybe you've experienced that before in a time of loss, to have people come alongside and give you words of comfort. Words of gratitude. And I think that the words of gratitude first come from a heart of gratitude, right? When someone expresses thankfulness and thanksgiving to another. I had something happen this week that was really... In some ways it was small, but in other ways it was huge. Let me tell you what it was. We have two foreign exchange students living with us this school year. And so I'm not going to be able to use this in the second service, but I will in the first service. They'll be here in the second service. But 10th grade and 8th grade boys from China. And the first time that they attended church, from what I understand in their lives, was when they attended here a few weeks ago. And so it's brand new to them. And so we're getting to know Will and Jay, the English names they've picked. Great guys. I hope that you'll get a chance to talk to them as well. And I cooked dinner one night this week, which is always a risky situation. But I went for it and did it and put it out on the table there. and we're all seated around the meal, and about two bites in, the youngest one, Jay, who is still learning English. I mean, he's still working and struggling through, so sometimes even complete sentences are a challenge, right? He looked up at me after two bites and said, Reinen, you cook good food. And I thought, you know what? That was so kind of that young man to say that. I didn't ask him what he thought about it. He did that on his own. And I'll be willing to cook another meal for that guy. You know what? I mean, he's putting his life in his hands, but he expressed genuine, heartfelt gratitude. And it meant something to me. And I wonder how many times I miss those opportunities. Someone's done something in a unique way for me, maybe, that I'm not expressing the gratitude. What about encouragement? Have you ever been in one of those times where you just needed someone to speak something to you so that you could just keep going? I can remember in a time as a young pastor, 26, 27 years old probably, going through a season of a lot of change in the church I was at in Lee Summit, and we were working through. We were meeting in a warehouse, and we had purchased some land. We were going through the process of trying to build a facility, and it was just a lot happening at one time. And I made a hard decision that I thought was the right one. I still think it was the right one. But in that week, I began to waver a bit on whether it was the right decision to make. And it was one of those that just kind of landed on me, and I just had to make it, and we had to move forward. And I began wavering, and I was talking to one of the men of the church. He happened to be one of the deacons. And he sensed from my demeanor and through our conversation that I was shaky. I wasn't sure if I'd done the right thing. And I'll never forget, we're standing right in front of the soda machine. And he almost touched his nose with mine. He got right up close to me. And he said, Ryan, he said, you've made the decision. And he said, you need to stick with it. And you got to know that people are going to stay with you. And I thought, you know what? That was a well-timed word for me. And it may not sound like much as I try to communicate it. But in the moment, it spoke volumes. Not only that he was affirming me in the decision, but what else was he doing? He was saying, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. You got people behind you, and we're going to press on. Sometimes we're the ones that need that. But other times, we're to be the ones that come up and give that. To let someone know we are with them. We know what they're going through. We want to give them encouragement and strength. I can't spend time on all of these, obviously, but counsel would be another one. Maybe we've received counsel in just the right time. The thing I just shared would be an example of that. What about forgiveness? Those are words that heal. When someone asks the question, will you forgive me? Or when someone makes the statement, I forgive you. You talk about immediate healing. But how often do we go through situations where we try other things other than saying, will you forgive me? Are you one of those people? Instead of saying the question, you'll just try to be overly nice about something else and just hope that it covers up for what you did, right? Words that heal, will you forgive me, or I forgive you. Words that reprove may not be what we're looking for, but at times we need that too, and they can bring healing. They can bring encouragement as we understand the right direction to go. Words of witness, sharing truth, speaking of the gospel, these are all words that build up and bless. We're going to be praying for the teachers and educators among us today. And we know that this is clearly a way in which words build up and bless the lives of others by communicating information, communicating wisdom. I mean, when you think about the teacher and the holistic calling that they've been given and investing in the lives of young people, we can understand how much of an influence teachers and the role of teaching has. We also have on their humor. How often does a good sense of humor help bring a bit of healing or encouragement? I was reminded of Proverbs 17, verse 22. It says, a joyful heart is what? Good medicine. Good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So sometimes that's what we need. Have you ever had a situation in the family where you just as a family needed to laugh about something? Not necessarily at someone else's expense, right? But to laugh, to have a good time, to have some humor that you can find out of a situation. A lot of blessing that can be there. Well, this is the power of words to heal, to be motivated, to be the kind of person who builds others up. And I know that all of what we've looked at here needs to be authentic. It's It's not something that we just make up and exaggerate because inauthenticity is something that people can pick up on. But for it to be very genuine is important. But if we think deeply about it, we can do as that young man did. And we can find words that we could say about anyone in our lives that would give them encouragement. It takes time, it takes effort, but it is part of our calling. It's part of being witnesses and sharing the good news, but it's also part of our calling as a church family because God wants us. He wants to develop a healthy fellowship among us, and this is a key component of that. And as I said, if we are a community of faith, regularly finding ways to build one another up, giving encouragement, giving appreciation, speaking words of life, I think the contrast against the world that is around us, particularly as we think about the last couple of weeks, I think that contrast will be so stark that God will use that as a way of glorifying Himself and pointing people to the cross. Because it's a work of Christ in us that allows us to be those kinds of people and to have an environment like that. So how do we develop this way of communicating? I think Proverbs 16 gives us part of the answer. It says in verse 23, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious or sensible and adds persuasiveness to his lips. See, did you catch that? What's the key there in verse 23? We see the words speech, we see lips, but the key is the heart. It's the heart of the wise. Notice again that connection. It produces sensible speech. But what else does it do? Look at verse 24. Flowing out of verse 23, it says, gracious words coming from a heart of wisdom, right? Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So that wise heart, that wise person, not just sensible words, but words that are sweet, words that bring health, words that give life. John Bloom said it this way, a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. A faithful heart produces a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart produces a reconciling tongue. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue. The words we use are really an expression of the heart we possess. Here's another example. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. This one really struck me because I thought it was really speaking about the nourishment that comes from language and from words. That the one who is wise can even nourish many people, but the fool, they can't even nourish themselves. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. This is another one that really struck me. The latter part of that verse speaks of the fruit of one's labor. You work hard and there's a payment, right? You work hard and there's increase. But the beginning of the verse is tying it to that same principle by saying that a fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good. There is something that is also produced in our words that brings about a payment or a reward. It may bring to mind a couple of applications. When you think about the reward of your lips, the reward of your speech, maybe you could look at it in both the temporal sphere and the eternal sphere. You can think about the blessing that it brings for the here and now, but I think we would also be wise to think about the impact of our words in eternity. In fact, as we close, I'd like to leave the book of Proverbs and listen to the words of our Savior. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Would you say these are strong words from our Lord? Words that I think get our attention, tie our everyday language to something that happens in eternity. Now, of course, our words reveal our hearts. Jesus warns us about careless words that we speak. And thankfully, He can forgive us of our careless speech. And thankfully, Jesus offers to transform our hearts. Because the gospel tells us that our lives can be changed and our words also can reflect His work within us. When people encounter us, they should sense something different. They should sense and see a community of believers building one another up, encouraging each other, and having a language among them that both blesses and heals. May God make it happen. May God apply His word to us individually. May He bless the marriages and the families of our church. And may He take His word today and apply it collectively to our church family. And then maybe, even after this service is over, there'll be opportunity after opportunity for us to use words that will heal and bless. And of course, one of them will come in just a couple of minutes as we offer commissioning prayer for educators. I said there was one more word that I wanted to add to that list. And this is it. It's a word of prayer. Word of prayer. When you pray for someone else, when you pray with someone else, you are encouraging them in a very powerful and real way. My Sunday morning begins here at church with men that gather around and pray for me, pray over me, bring me before the Lord. And I can't tell you what that does for me. And what a reminder it is of God's activity among us and what we do as we worship. And so maybe today it's looking for others that you can offer the ministry of intercession with and offer to pray with them and encourage them in that way. Well, as we pray this morning, I want to read Psalm 141:3, which says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." I think that verse may come up in some of the Sunday school lessons today in the ABF classes. And I think it is embodied there as a prayer and one that we can learn from and apply as we pray together. Would you bow with me? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've given us the truth of Your Word. We thank You that it guides and directs our minds, our thoughts, but also our words. Lord, as we have looked these weeks over the book of Proverbs at many different ones, You have taught us about the power of language. And God, we pray that You will give us wisdom to speak the right words at the right time. May it be a reflection of a people who not only want to sing praises with our lips under Your throne, but that we also want to use our voices to build one another up and not tear each other down. May You grant us, dear Lord, the ability to care for those around us, always looking for ways to speak words that heal and bless. And Lord, we pray that this commitment, an individual commitment, could take place in our homes, that marriages will be blessed and families working to build each other up. And Father, may it be consistent throughout the ministries of our church. May we be mindful that men and women, students and children, people of every age and stage in life, may they all have opportunity to be conduits of blessing to each other. And Lord, when the words are few, or when the words are off base, we pray for a heart change. We pray for a measure of discernment to come that would impact the words that we say. We thank you that you are a God who has loved us and even by your own words have created a way for us to know you. We pray, God, that you'll continue to be at work through your Holy Spirit, applying your word to our hearts and to our mouths this week. We pray now for the offering that's being received, that you'll bless it and use it for your purpose and your glory among us, in this community, and around this world. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.